So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to review, man.
Right now, right? That's what you say. We get it by now.
Cause I'm ready to go.
And how do we sound now? Can you guys make out what we're saying? Great. Right. Wonderful. Thank you for being so patient. And hopefully... you've all had a chance to grab a drink. We want to thank Benji from here at the Barley and Vine
Beer Garden. Let's have a round of applause for our hosts.
Yeah, right on. I feel like we need a couple beers too ourselves, man. So,
oh yeah, I think we're almost at that point.
Whenever we get a second. Anyway, take it away.
Has the show begun?
I don't know. Has it? Why don't you guys count us down? 5, 4. So you're going to have to do it again, because in TV you don't say the 3, 2, 1. So you're going to have to go 5, 4. Screwed it up again. Ready? 5, 4, 2.
We nailed it. Welcome to the live Review Away podcast. I want to thank all of you for coming out. When Wei and I do this podcast, this is the exact, to the T, ratio of male to females that we assume listen to our show. So thank you to the gentlemen out there that brought your significant others. And to those significant others, I promise you'll be in and out in about an hour.
You know, but there are a lot of girls that are, into wrestling, so let's not, yeah.
That was one of our huggers from Supercard of Honor on Saturday night. I want to thank all the people who have really opened my mind to the idea of hugs. I have hugged more people this weekend than, I'm serious. Non-family members, I don't think I've hugged 3 people in my life before this weekend.
Yeah. You just, we throw them right in the fire. You know, if it's weird, it's just, expose them to it and... He loves them now.
So. It was baptism by fire at Evolve when you had gone to sleep in the car and a gentleman came up to me, and it was almost like the feeling you get when someone's coming and asking you for their number, and that's kind of what this exchange was like. Ultimate thrill ride. I know it's kind of weird, but and I didn't know what the hell to do. It's like, there's no one around here. The joke is kind of lost when Wei's not here to at least laugh at me. This is just two men awkwardly not wanting to hug each other, but feel they have a duty to the integrity of the joke to follow through with this. We did not hug. We just kind of, okay, enjoy the show. Yeah, okay.
And I'm so sad I missed it, because that's exactly what I wanted to see. But thank you for repeating that story.
Wei, how are you enjoying beautiful Orlando, Florida?
You know, I've been very pleasantly surprised by the hospitality here. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it's a tourist town for sure, and I think it shows. Everybody's been great, you know? Very friendly.
How many locals are here? Are there any locals? Okay, there's a good handful of locals here from Orlando. Okay. Thank you for having us, I guess. None of you had any say in this, but nonetheless.
Hospitality's great. The traffic is abysmal. It's terrible. Getting from place to place, you know, especially with so many things being spread out. So I appreciate you all showing up pretty on time.
Yeah. For any of you that listened to our last two shows, our driving home from events podcast, we have been in several near accidents. I mean,
well,
Wei legit turned into a oncoming traffic where the headlights are facing us. I'm still talking about my goddamn thoughts on the Hall of Fame as... Our lives are in danger here.
I don't know how many of you guys have tried to drive in a foreign country while doing a podcast and a review. It's tough to multitask.
Okay, one of my favorite stories this weekend is we are leaving the Hall of Fame, and Wei has to go to the bathroom so badly. And I have this neurotic thing in my head where when I know someone that I depend on is in pain, it makes me uncomfortable. So I just wanted this guy to find a place to pee.
He does have that. He's very nice.
I'm very neurotic. Yeah. So we leave. We go to a small little cafe. They do not have bathrooms there. So then we go to the parking lot, and I just tell Wei, there's a patch of grass down there. Just go for it. And Wei is just looking. He's, fuck it. I'm going to go pee. So he goes down this hill. Am I butchering this story?
No, or? You're telling a great story of how I had to pee.
I was taking notes. So he goes down to this small little area that's just all dark, and he's about to relieve himself when all of a sudden, hey, you gonna pee? And there was a gentleman who was making his residence under this little bridge.
I didn't know I stepped in someone's home. You know, I should have asked.
You literally walked up to a man's doorstep and was going to urinate on his welcoming mat.
The fence was right here. He was right on the other side. It was so dark, I couldn't see. So
Wei returns, tells me this story, which is making me laugh. And then 20 minutes later, fuck it, I'm going to pee. And Wei returned. Did you go?
I didn't go
away
right
from
to
him?
The same spot.
Was he still there?
I think he was asleep, so it was fine.
What a scent to wake up to.
Yeah. So apologies to that man.
Yes. So there you go. That was what entertained me on Friday evening. We are going to be taking your questions throughout this show. Now, this show is coming out on Friday, so we're going to try and avoid anything too WrestleMania-centric to make ourselves all sound like idiots when this comes out on Friday.
Or you could pretend that the event had already happened. And we'll
speak
in the future.
That would be really dishonest to pretend.
We'll edit all
this out. Time.
We'll edit all this out so people listening afterwards will not know the difference.
Yeah,
you can predict this card anyway. Come on.
Oh, of course. I mean, I think we're all anticipating that someone's going to slip on a pipe a la Kevin Randleman, and we're going to have a main event snafu. Someone's going to have to take the spot of Roman Reigns against The Undertaker. It's going to be Shinsuke Nakamura. And then we're going to get Nakamura and The Undertaker in the main event with The Undertaker losing and then his soul being taken up into the skies of Orlando. And there is an empty Undertaker ring gear left in the ring as Marty Jannetty is up in the cheap seats remembering when he did that at the 94 Royal Rumble. And that's the end of The Undertaker. Everyone yelling, what the fuck? But Nakamura is here.
It was quite the show. I can't believe they did all that.
It was wild.
Yeah.
I mean,
they pulled it off.
It was the high point of Flo Rida International Appreciation Week, which the WWE acknowledges every year. I mean, it's Martin Luther King Day and Flo Rida Day. They are up on their acknowledgments.
Well, being Canadian, I think our equivalent would be like, who's our Flo Rida? Is there an Ontario?
Drake.
No, come on. Drake's way cooler than Flo Rida.
I think we've lost ownership of Drake, to be honest. I don't think many people... I mean, he has the Toronto connection, but I almost feel... He's not the... I feel he's above Canada now. You really get that in that sense. I mean, the U.S. has kind of adopted the man.
Ah, he reps the six. Really hard.
He's done plenty for us. I feel we've allowed him to move on, though. He's gone on to the main roster of the entertainment world.
I feel like he'll only accept Canada if he can dominate it and control it, which is what I think he wants. I think he sees, like, it's like, you know, it's like a promoter seeing, like, oh, you know what, New York's taken, LA's taken. Nobody really wants this Toronto thing. I'm going to start from there, and then I'm going to take the rest. He's Jack Tunney, basically.
He is a modern-day Jack Tunney.
Yep.
I would definitely consider those two very much linked in their roots and in their delivery as well.
I mean, I've never heard Jack Tunney rap, but I could only imagine.
All right. We've also got some guests in the house that we will be welcoming. Damian Abraham is here. We've also got Brian Mann, who is joining us.
Keep it 2000. Keep it 2000.
Maybe we'll chat some politics later with Brian Mann.
Oh, no.
The most volatile podcast we've ever put out. I got equal amounts of love and... Fuck that liberal. And they always come to me. Whenever people have complaints about shows, it always comes to me. Like, I am somehow the godfather of this operation. It's like I have to be the one to
be Nate.
Defend. Well, everyone loves Nate, though.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone hates Nate.
Yeah.
Maybe our man Marcus does, but I don't think he does.
No, I don't know how Marcus does.
The kings of sport themselves here in the flesh.
Yeah. Let's throw it out to the crowd.
All right. Yeah. Because of some of our audio issues, we're going to have, if you do have a question, do people have questions?
Step up. Don't be shy.
Come on. Be the brave one to kind of get the ball rolling. All right.
That gentleman.
Let us know the question. We'll repeat for clarity's sake so everyone can hear you.
Ram from New Jersey. What's up? No, we actually went to ROH. We didn't go to TakeOver. We watched it last night, though. So the question was, Ran was asking if we went to NXT TakeOver, which we did not. We went to ROH, but we did watch NXT after the fact. And there was this portion of the show where all of a sudden fans broke out into a shut the fuck up chant. And he's letting us know that the reason for that is because there were a group of fans singing during the match. You were one of those guys? Are you
oh,
admitting
wow.
to me? Hey, shut the fuck up. Shut up to him. No, I'm kidding.
You know what? What were you guys singing, though?
Yeah. Oh, okay. They were chanting basically for their own sections against the other sections.
Yeah, it's weird how this etiquette now has formed itself for wrestling shows. I mean, I really don't get bent out of shape for it all that much. I mean, it was weird at the Hall of Fame. Eric LeGrand was doing his speech for the Warrior Award, and his mic was really low, so no one could hear this guy, especially up where we were. And most people were just being respectful, let this guy have his speech. But yeah, this guy got hecklers, and it's like,
Did he actually get heckled?
Oh, there were some people yelling and people getting very upset at them. So maybe that's my line, is when there is an individual who is up there delivering a speech, this isn't a pro wrestling match, this guy's not a performer, shut the fuck up.
I mean, you know, it's sort of the thing that makes these shows so special, is the fact that there's so much crowd interaction and the fact that at any time a crowd can hijack a show and make those shows incredibly entertaining. I feel like, though, we're at a point now where, as a crowd, as a community, as an audience, we're gaining a sensitivity to when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate. And I think it takes shut the fuck up chants in order to educate people. You know, if you're really interrupting a match, then shut the fuck up. If it's a boring match, come on, yell. Like,
but to me,
20.
When I hear performers, specifically in the WWE, that will complain about this openly, about fans trying to ruin the show, and yet we're still going to put together a documentary on the day after WrestleMania, you very much encourage this. You want this, but only to a certain point. It's one or the other. You can't be glorifying that this audience has a mind of their own. They're using beach balls. And you know what? There's no list, approved chants, non-approved chants. That would be really weird. So that you kind of open that up. When you're at the Hall of Fame, and not that I'm justifying what I just outlined at the Hall of Fame, but you could very much do this in – you could have the Hall of Fame at the Barley and Vine Beer Garden, and it is employees only. You will have zero hecklers, but you're not getting a 6- or 7-figure gate. So when you are opening it up to 17,000 people, there's a price with that.
Certainly. But, you know, it's the audience that determines when that's too much, too, you know? So I feel like it's not like they're...
Well, clearly they policed themselves here.
Exactly.
And look, and now they're sharing a beer together.
Exactly.
So here we have
exactly.
harmony amongst the Review Away listeners.
So, I mean, I don't think it's that they discourage it. They just, you know, there are times... I'm sure the CM Punk chants aren't necessarily something that they're too fond of these days. But it's not like they discourage it. I'm sure they have fun with it, too.
Next question. All right, let's go into the back.
Randy
from Connecticut.
What is the one match we're not looking forward to seeing at WrestleMania last Sunday?
Yeah.
What was
we haven't watched the show yet. We've been waiting until this podcast drops. So,
what was the match I really wasn't looking forward to?
I could definitely go to the bathroom during the SmackDown women's match, and I don't think I would be missing a whole lot when I came back.
For me, the match with the least amount of interest is Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. As much as I like both of those guys. Unfortunately, that feud, the matchup itself doesn't seem like it's all that interesting to me. The build has been awful, quite frankly.
They needed Limp Bizkit.
Yes, they do. Great job, John, on that compilation. But unless there's like a magical forklift that can elevate these two to... I don't know where I'm going.
Raise your
that.
Interest?
Yeah. A forklift match I actually would have been a little bit interested in. But, like, there are no stipulations, nothing really at stake aside from the IC title, which, you know, I don't think... it'll be good for Baron Corbin to win it, to get that moment. But besides that, I don't have the interest in that one.
Maybe this feud can keep going, and it will coincide with Brian and Nate reviewing the Judy Bagwell on a pole match, mm-hmm. where we can see the benefits or negatives of forklifts within a pro wrestling context.
You really set the bar for forklift matches.
Literally and figuratively. Yeah. All right. Next question. Gregor from Glasgow, Scotland. Not Al Snow's. The question was, there was an event in town called Al Snow's Bachelor Party.
It was Kevin Nash's party.
Kevin Nash's party for Al Snow?
That was billed as Al Snow's Bachelor Party, apparently.
Yeah. Wow. Like, that. You can promote anything WrestleMania weekend. It's not a guaranteed success, but no one will give you a red light. Play into the grand theme. Wei, whose Bachelor Party would you want to go to amongst the professional...
A
wrestling
wrestler's
community
bachelor party, or anybody's bachelor party in wrestling?
Yeah, let's open it up because is a weird question.
I would go to Paige and Alberto Del Rio's. I'm sure that'll be amazing. Oh yeah, I'll film it.
That would be so weird for a couple to have a bachelor party together, but I could definitely see it happening.
I want to go to Paige's actually.
Just go to Paige's
or Bachelorette.
All right,
that's a good question.
Bachelor party that I would go to. I mean, I would definitely have to look at. You know, it sounds like an easy go-to, and the man is happily married. But the ideas behind a Vince Russo bachelor party to me would just be endless. Of just the different games you could play, like it's pin the tail on the donkey. But there's no donkey on the wall, and everyone's blindfolded, and they're just going around trying to find this object that doesn't exist. And then it turns out that you are the donkey, and that everyone is after you. However, they're not clued in on this. And there's a pole.
Of course. Of course. Ring on a pole, maybe.
This could all be done with a bachelor party. I really have no great answer for a bachelor party I would want to attend, but Paige and Alberto Del Rio's would probably be fun. Alberto's would be wild.
Have you interviewed Vince Russo ever? Have you ever met
No,
him?
I haven't. Dan Lavransky did years ago when one of his books came out. The one where he had found God. He had written one book, and it was just trashing everybody. And it was just destroying everyone he had ever worked with. But then he found the Lord, so he rewrote his book. And it was called Forgiven or something like that. And Dan went into this interview very combative with Vince Russo, and it culminated with Vince Russo giving this speech about how he's found the Lord and how there were mistakes he made in the past, but he looks back that he's a found man, and religion has really steered him onto the path. And Mouth just like interjects with, "Yeah, but you really did fuck Bret Hart, didn't you?" And it was just so... It was so perfect and yet so ill-timed. And Vince Russo was... Let me tell you something about that whole Bret Hart thing, okay, bro? Bro, when I was there in Montreal, and he goes on to his whole defense, but it was just like this recovering alcoholic, and Mouth was just like, "Yeah, but you did smash that car and affect someone's life. That happened." It's just such a funny moment for me, who was the operator for this interview and listening to this.
Well, we thank Mouth for that. Great memory.
I'm working Vince Russo a lot into this podcast, and it's not by design. Any more questions? There at the in the hat. Hey, Kirk. Kirk from Indiana.
Kirk, you look a lot like Michael Elgin. Yeah, that's not a slight. The question was, do we think that they're running out of Hall of Fame inductees for the WWE, and if they'll limit the amount of inductees? How many inductees were there for this one?
I think we had seven. Was that
seven? And then of course the special honorable mention list.
Oh yeah, we had the Legacy Award. Of course, we had all those. I'll say this year, certainly we didn't need the added celebrity. That said, like this year, that we had a smaller amount, and it seemed everyone was just allowed to go out there and have whatever time they wanted up until we got really ridiculous, and then Teddy Long probably got cut. I would much rather a smaller class, but there is something to be said for some time limits. When I'm looking at my watch, and we're 45 minutes into this show, and DDP has just wrapped up. Yeah. you know you're in for a long night ahead. And I generally enjoy the Hall of Fame. I enjoy the speeches. But being there for that show, and we're clocking in at 4 hours for this Hall of Fame, that's a long time to watch individuals talk. I wonder if we're overstaying our welcome here, and we're in about 30.
No way. We'll be here for like 7 hours. Anyway, I'm somebody who enjoys the lengthier speeches. You know, for the culmination of somebody's career, I don't want them to be, you know, necessarily given a set time limit. I want them to get out whatever they need to. So I would maybe limit, you know, this past class by one or two even, you know, just to get the full speeches in there while still maintaining a show that kind of moves along at a good pace. Do I think they're running out? I feel like there are people kind of retiring. You know, every year you just kind of need that one big headliner. And there are a lot of people that are kind of on their way to retirement. There's, you know, perhaps, I mean, what we saw on Sunday, you know, maybe The Undertaker. Who knows? Bill Goldberg could very well retire very soon coming up. So I feel like there's always going to be that big name that's ready once a year for that headlining class.
Yeah, every year there's people that it's like, oh, my God, this person. I'm excited 10, 15 years from now when they've just got to grab somebody from the middle of the pack and we can get that elaborate video package.
The Heath Slater Hall of Fame series?
Damn it, you stole – I was going to go into a – like 3MB redefined what it meant to be talent with musical influences. And we can have Michael Hayes and Dean Malenko talking about how people were never thinking that a three-man band could work as a wrestling act. They are the modern-day Freebirds. And here we are updating that. And that, to me, I look forward to the presentation of some of these acts. I mean, Jinder Mahal could totally be in the Hall of Fame in 12 years.
I mean, you kid.
How exciting would that be? He'd probably come up. He'd pose.
Oh, yeah. You kid, but, like, there's definitely an argument about whether or not certain people belong in this Hall of Fame. But if we're just talking about a show of retirement speeches, I love that stuff. You know, you don't even have to be somebody like high on the card or a main eventer. To me, like, everybody goes through enough struggle to get to whatever stage they're at in the WWE or any type of professional wrestling, you know, main event, not even main event, semi main event level. So I check it out. I don't know if I'd fly my way to the city and line up and then pay a certain ticket price to listen to a Heath Slater Hall of Fame induction speech, but
I'd be happy every year to get Ricky Morton up there doing that. Like, he should be the new host of the Hall of Fame when Jerry Lawler is just moved along. Like, could you imagine Ricky Morton up there just as your MC for the evening?
Yeah, he would be able to get a wide view.
Come up with all his notes. He has a podcast, yeah. You know.
Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah, I tried to get Ricky Morton on the show about a month ago, and he responded to me. Well, brother, I'm adding the brother for effect. I got a podcast. Like, all right, you've got a podcast. This was news to me. I had no idea Ricky Morton had a podcast. Has anyone ever heard Ricky Morton's podcast? Okay, so there. I haven't heard it, so I can't speak about it. So at this point, I am not one to hound people. When they don't want to come on the show, they don't want to come on the show. But to me, this is a real weak excuse, and I took it as a personal challenge. So I responded to him, and I wrote like three paragraphs on why I felt his reasoning here was very flawed to not come on this show. And I did get a response from the man saying, all right, well, contact me in a month, and just very busy right now. I did not follow up with the man, but maybe we will get Ricky Morton on, and I'll definitely chat with him about his podcast. Hopefully. And how it's doing. It's probably going to go through the roof after this weekend.
Yeah, with enough pressure.
I want to hear it now.
Yeah, demand it.
All right, at this time, we are going to welcome up Brian Mann, one of the co-hosts of Keep It 2000, who is here in the house.
There you go.
Hey, guys.
Yo.
Yeah, I'm the host people don't like.
I don't know about that. In person, everyone always loves you. I mean, I get all
thank
my
you.
All my dislike sure. is reserved for Twitter. It's great.
Well, we're going to start doing the show live in people's houses every week so that people like me.
That's the way to go about things, I think. Just meet people in person. I feel I've only had one person ever come up to me and say, I really don't like you, and I don't agree with your opinions, but thank you for doing what you do. And I was like, net positive. I'll take that.
Was that Ricky Morton?
I told him, yeah, about my podcast. But generally, people are pretty nice in person. It paints you a lot different than when you get the other people on Twitter who are just, they can be vicious, Brian.
They can.
What was the level of opinions you got during your Review America front? Because you went into, like, the polluted waters and were just asking for lightning to come and strike you down.
Oddly, I think we actually got, like, more negative political feedback to Review and Impact, oddly. I think because that we were, like, doing a lot of, like, we were doing big mailbag stuff, and people would bring a lot of opinions there that we would respond to.
Upfront about it, because Review America...
Yeah.
What the hell are you expecting when you download this? Review and Impact, you could just kind of slide it in there.
Exactly. It snuck up on you. You thought we were going to just make fun of the revolution for an hour, and then we're talking about, like, policing policy, and you weren't expecting that. Review America, right up front, just avoid it if you don't want to hear it.
How have you found working with one Nate Milton?
He's great. He's good, you know. I don't want to say anything negative because Marcus is going to report back. Because I know Nate prefers Marcus. No, because you've been doing your show longer. And he said on the air that he prefers you to me. No, Nate's great. Like, Nate's fantastic. Like, I've said this privately, and I've said it to you guys. I mean, whenever I come up with, like, a dumb, stupid idea that most people would say no to, like, hey, let's just record for 3 hours and improvise a road trip. And he's like, yeah, let's do that. And he, like, he's just... He comes up with these, like, incredible ideas, and it's great where the stuff will go when we get together and do those sort of special episodes.
Yeah, when you went on an ayahuasca trip with Alex Greenfield last year, that was a lot of fun.
I mean, and anyone who at the drop of... Hey, Alex is here. and anyone who had, like, a drop of the hat... anyone who will, like, agree to watch a year's worth of WCW without hesitation, I'm not going to say anything negative about him.
You're almost at the end of February of 2000.
I'm only taking Super Brawl questions today, by the way.
Oh,
not
wow.
Talking WrestleMania at all.
Yeah, James Brown will not be showing up unannounced at this particular event. God rest his soul. How have you found thus far, 2 months in? Do you have a different perspective now? Because you watched these episodes as a young fan. Now you're watching it as a dick critic. Is that a different vibe you're getting now?
Well, this was the time period of WCW that I knew was going to be difficult. This is like the Kevin Sullivan, Hulk Hogan's using the creative clause. This is a real chore to get through. And we're looking forward to that Russo episode where it sort of all comes together and Bischoff comes back. And I'm excited for that. But what we're doing right now is it's tough. It's difficult. It takes multiple shifts to do. And Marcus can even testify to this, that people are excited to come on. And then as soon as we have that phone call, they're very angry at the beginning of it. Because it sounds like fun until you actually sit through an hour and a half of the WCW show that you're going to be discussing.
How do you fit your viewing of a WCW 3-hour Nitro into your schedule?
Well, thankfully, they're only 2 hours. We've had to review one 3-hour. It is starting to get to the point where it is affecting me socially, I think.
Yeah.
Having to, like, every week make time for this. And people, like, friends are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm watching a wrestling show. And like, oh, cool, like Raw, like Mania's coming up? No, WCW. Oh, is that like some indie thing? No, they've been out of business for 17 years. Oh, well, it must be like a good classic thing. No, it's really shitty. Oh, so you're doing like one? No, we're watching 52 of these. You know, people listen to it maybe.
Yeah, because like, I mean, I know what you go through. Because I've had to watch many of these WCW shows myself. And this man will attest, I often leave these things to the very last second. Just because I want to live my life. I want the rest of my week free from the shackles of WCW in 2000. But the very last minute, you know, I got 2 hours before we record. I got to sit down, focus, and do it. But even then, it takes me, like, multiple sittings,
yeah.
You know. So, like... Are you able to get through these episodes in one go?
Well, in the beginning, I was, like, excited for them. Like, even as bad as the NWO 2000 was, like, this is fun to revisit. And now it's to the point where – and I also take, like, a lot of notes during the episodes. So it will take me sometimes 4 and 5 hours viewing for these things. And in the past, it was like, oh, I'll do it, like – in advance, but there have been multiple times with Nate where I'm like, I just need 30 more minutes. I need 30 more minutes, and like, we'll record 2 hours later because I thought I only had 15 minutes left in the show, but then you know, Hulk Hogan comes out and cuts a Yappapai promo, and you're like, well, I gotta get detailed here.
You got to do your research for the Yappapai strap match. Yeah.
We'll end things off, Brian. I mean, looking back at this past weekend's WrestleMania, what did you think overall? You've been pretty negative on this card. Won't ask you if your views changed after the show, but I mean, what did work this year?
I thought that the decision to put the title on Shane McMahon on Monday night was an interesting decision.
A little puzzling.
I don't think anyone saw that coming, but I think he's finally going to pay off. I mean, they've been building this guy strong for 20 years now, and they're finally going to make money off of him. So I'm excited for that.
What did you think of his new finish, the Kinshasa? I mean,
no, it was
guy's just getting called up, and boom, there goes his finish.
I mean, if you like things I expected from him, Canadian Destroyer was not high on the list.
The
Canadian Destroyer, I think we're going to be seeing for years to come.
Keep it 2000. It is a bi-weekly show on liveaudiowrestling.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Mann.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's go back to a question. Is there anyone left with any questions? All right, in the peach T-shirt, very Florida. Local.
From Orlando.
Oh, man.
This is a very long and outline very complex this way. Question. This gentleman asked if the WWE somehow decided to call us for our expertise on their inaugural Scott Putski Hall of Fame inductee for their next Hall of Fame class, who would we induct? And the question also was they don't want to induct somebody. Lex Luger, Warlord, are disqualified.
Of course.
It'll raise a...
I mean, unlike the spirit of the award, with this Hall of Fame, you want it to build naturally.
Correct. So who do we induct into the first class of the Scott Putski Hall of Fame without raising too many eyebrows?
Well, I mean...
Shockmaster.
Wow. I mean, for the namesake, I mean, I feel this would be remiss. How could you have a Scott Putski Hall of Fame without the man himself, who has been, I guess, alerted of this award over the years through us, and I think he's figured at this point what it is, which is always fun.
I mean, I wonder how he feels about it.
I think he should be honored, to be honest. Of all the muscleheads that we have reviewed and watched, we isolated this guy at Jump Street from his appearance at Ground Zero after his knee got shot up into his Adam's apple against Brian Christopher. And from that day on, I mean, he was the measuring stick. So Scott Putski goes in. I just feel the Warlord was the perfect epitome of the mentality at that time where you just had these lugs on your television screen. And the Warlord to me was just... an 8-year-old could understand what this game was that the WWF was promoting and playing at the time. Mm-hmm. So Warlord certainly comes to mind. I mean, who are some suggestions here from the crowd, legitimate ones for this this grandiose inaugural Hall of Fame Scott Putski class?
Buff Bagwell, Stasiak, British Bulldog. Well, I mean, I know I feel like this guy actually has the record for most Scott Putski awards, and I think it's Vince. I mean, I love to see Vince go in finally into his own Hall of Fame.
That would be the Hall of Fame that, A, he would want to be acknowledged for in speeches, and that he would be more than willing to come out. Maybe he would emcee it. I mean, could you imagine? That would be my dream, to go back 25 years, and we have the Juiced Hall of Fame, and it's Bobby Heenan with Vince McMahon as he unveiled the narcissist, and Bobby Heenan's having an orgasm just describing, look at him. And he just goes through the deltoids. That would be phenomenal.
Classic.
All right.
Yeah.
Next question.
Well,
let's go to the corner here with Alberto.
Alberto, what's up?
From Kissimmee. All right. All right. So the question from Alberto was about the WWE purchasing other groups that are out there and whether they would let them continue running, whether they would just absorb them. The Disney comparison, I think, is a very good one because I think that has been the model from the get-go, and you kind of see it with all due respect to our host city here. So I really don't see a whole ton of value that if you were to purchase a Ring of Honor of continuing this as a
touring brand when you've created that touring brand that in and of itself. I think they value the tape library. I think that is a huge contributing factor to all of this. But as a touring brand, you can only stretch yourself so thin. And at what point is it just the law of diminishing returns of different touring promotional brands out there, and why an ROH would supersede a specific UK touring group, a cruiserweight touring group, on top of your NXT group that are running two shows a night as it is on the weekends?
We've seen their track record of taking established brands and trying to make it their own, and it's been terrible. You know, save One Night Stand, which was fantastic, but I don't know how much exactly they had to do with it. But I mean, if they did indeed start their own Ring of Honor or continue their own version of Ring of Honor, you can guarantee it would be very different from the show that we saw last Saturday. You know, I shudder to think what Vince McMahon's Ring of Honor would look like. God. Like, maybe a lot of gifts. Like, maybe the Young Bucks will show Alicia Fox will somehow, like, be involved with the, Adam Cole. And I just, I don't have faith in it. I'd almost rather see them shut it down and just do something brand new that's their own. You know what I mean?
Just imagine Vince going through that tape library, and he goes back. He's like, the Code of Honor. What the fuck? by the time he gets to Chicago Ridge, night two, call for tickets now. I feel that Gabe Sapolsky is definitely aware of my voice. There's definitely, I think, an acknowledgement of it at this point, which I'm kind
of
happy about.
It's all out of love, though, you know? How many people have a Gabe Sapolsky impression? Certainly as good as yours, so... It's those old ROH tapes are just, they're great. And if they ever acquire them and put them on the network, I hope they include those commercials where it's like, man, it's like they do it all themselves. Like these DVDs are all done like by probably one or two or three people. And Gabe doing the VO with the phone number on the background, and it's like probably CM Punk like holding the light up so that the DVDs are lit. I love that stuff.
Oh, there's such a charm to it. I mean, Joe and Kobashi, where the cameras are not even all...
No, Joe and Kobashi actually looked all right.
Punk and Joe?
Yeah, the five-star match. Yes,
that was... we didn't even have the color balance accurate on the three cameras. I really don't see necessarily that need. If they were to purchase Ring of Honor, I think it would be a short-term thing if they were to continue touring, but I think ultimately it would be absorbed. And I think that's the unfortunate part, that you'd see a lot of guys that would not be absorbed with the company. I think that's just how these purchases typically work, and there'd be a lot of talented individuals that would have to go elsewhere. And for the positives and negatives that people bring up about Ring of Honor, I mean, they're a company that employ a lot of people, and I don't see a purchase where all of a sudden you have these 35 spots that magically appear and they would all be able to fulfill them when you have a roster that is growing by the week and they are cherry-picking talent worldwide, and you're seeing that consistently. All right, next question over there. Jeremy from West Virginia.
I like how everybody's introducing themselves. This is great.
Well, it's... See, he was passing off the reins for the Hall of Fame host gig.
Yeah, right? In the interview, Jerry says, joking, that Ricky Morton should have a podcast. Ricky replies, I do have a podcast. And Lawler replies, wow, I guess everybody has a podcast now.
It's kind of true.
What person out there do you think should not have a podcast and does?
Oh, boy.
Alex Greenfield just stood up. No.
Oh, boy.
That is not my choice.
You know, it's funny. When people talk about, like, the so many wrestler podcasts and where the bubble is, I'm always taken back. When I was an intern at this university radio station in Toronto, and I worked in the music department.
CIUT.
Yeah, CIUT. Represent 89.5 on the dial. Yes. No one else here is probably aware of CIUT, but that's irrelevant. So I worked in the music department, and one day one of the programmers was in, and he's chatting with this guy who I worked with, and he's just all of a sudden saying,
too many CDs out there. Anyone can have an album. And the guy just goes, that's ridiculous. That's like saying there's too many books out there. Why would you want to limit yourself? And I think that's kind of the thing. It's like the good shows are going to find their audience. Yeah. The poor ones won't. But I don't discourage anyone. I mean, who could fathom some people that would take to podcasting, two examples here, and have any kind of success at it? I mean, there are wrestlers that really got into it. Like Ric Flair's show. I mean, I thought that thing would be a disaster from the start. And I mean, elements of it certainly were. And it wasn't around for a long time, but it was kind of Ric Flair's quick marriage, and there were some fun points in there.
I think he's got a new one on MLW.
No, it's kind of DOA at this point. But, oh. I mean, you never know which personalities are going to embrace it, which ones just see this is a cash grab that I can get some kind of deal out of, and the ones that fully go into it. I mean, Steve Austin, that guy is a great interviewer. Mm-hmm. If you listen to that guy and his interview style, it's outstanding. Zero ego about himself when he has his guests on. You can see he's almost uncomfortable when any guys are putting over his accolades. It's all the focus is on his guest. And then there's others who I don't think will ever fully understand what this is. It's, well, here's an opportunity for me to get from A to B, and C is cash. And those are the ones that I think you're in it for the wrong reasons. And, I mean, it's trial and error at the most part. But yeah. There's plenty of wrestler podcasts out there that are not going to be successful.
Yeah. I mean, I've learned that, you know, through the whole podcasting thing, that there's definitely something for everybody. Certainly over the past, like, several years, you know, professional wrestling podcasts have become, like, just exploded in terms of just how many there are. I do feel like the market is maybe a little oversaturated, but that doesn't mean there's no space for people to do them, and especially to do them with, like, different slants and to try different things and to do new things. Like, you know, especially, like, you know, people that used to work in the industry, a lot of them have very different stories from, you know, somebody else that might be covering the same topic. So, and then you'll have fans that have different opinions, and you'll have fans with different personalities that people might gravitate more towards than, you know, other people. So there's always space. It's just about, you know, being able to find it, and it's kind of tougher, I think, for somebody starting out now to really promote themselves, especially if it's just like, let's say, like, you and I started just now on our own. I think it'd be really tough to, like, really get any type of traction, but I mean, you know, then again, maybe it'd be super easy. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. It'd just be a layup. Yeah. Let us welcome, at this point, a man who was the lead writer on WWE SmackDown. Oh, shit is right. It's Alex Greenfield, everybody. Woo! Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you that you were going to join us for a few minutes.
I had no idea, and my voice is totally shot from screaming at professional wrestling shows all weekend.
All right, well, we're going to keep it quick with you. You checked out a lot of Progress Wrestling this weekend. What were some of the highlights?
TK Cooper and Banks and Dahlia Black, TK Cooper, the South Pacific power couple and power trip, stole two shows I saw this weekend. They're just about my favorite tag team in the world right now. They stole the Progress show against two really game Sammy Callahan and Shane Strickland. Had another match last night at Progress versus Evolve. I love these guys. Dahlia Black is a fantastic old school manager, like in the way that she's outside the ring and kind of directing all of us, directing the action in the ring. It's a lost art, and she's just fucking fantastic at it. And all the way around, like, I've had a great weekend of shows and Wale Mania and all of that, but that tag team really stands out to me as, like, this is a team that Florida should be looking at immediately.
All right. Well, with respect to your voice, the last thing I want to ask you about, because you were very hands-on at the time with The Undertaker and Randy Orton, and now that you see Randy Orton in this kind of wacky deal with Bray Wyatt, which I think has had has been better received than I think it would have been 10 years ago. And there's been people that have loved it and people that have hated it. As someone that's a real fan of that kind of style, have you been following it? And what do you think that they've hit on or missed the boat with?
Oh, man. I love horror movies. They are my life. And I've been enjoying it. I think there what helps it is there's a sort of a self-referential nudging and winking going on an awful lot. And I think it so far out into supernatural territory, this from a guy who had ghostly Bob Orton appear in a mirror behind frickin' Randy.
Can't go wrong with mirrors in wrestling where like someone can see something and others can't.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, there's an invisible camera floating around backstage, too. Suspension of disbelief is sort of a sliding scale, right?
That was a subtle fuck you, Pollock.
but I've enjoyed it. Like, the truth is, Randy in a heroic role is casting against type on a variety of levels, and I never quite buy into it. But
did he buy into the ideas that you guys threw at him? Was he open to kind of venturing off?
I was lucky that I had a really good Randy. He, when I started at the company and started working with him, he had just come back from a shoulder injury. So we were sort of Ike and Mike, and he was really game to try anything. Look, he thought burning the casket was silly and Ghostly Bob was silly and all of that, but he was absolutely 100% game to do the stuff.
So the best Randy Orton, go down for shoulder surgery, and then when he comes back, he'll go for anything.
Yes, yeah, basically you want him right when he's come back, right?
Awesome. You can check out Alex Greenfield, MLWRadio.com. We won't let your voice die on us.
Let's don't do that.
Alex Greenfield, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Where do you want to go? You want to take some more questions?
Yeah, if there are.
Are there more questions here? We're going to go rapid fire here. All right, in the red here.
Adam from the UK.
How do we see it evolving? Yeah, he's asking about the WWE's relationship with UK-based promotions like Progress, ICW, and how they're going to evolve. I mean, you clearly see the fingerprints are there. That I mean, all parties appear in bed together to what degree, very much like the kind of unofficial, official relationship they have with Evolve. I mean, long term, again, I think that you want to have a system in place where guys can go and develop and not necessarily be on the WWE's dime. I think that's just smart business to me, is that when you can send talent out there. A perfect example is Drew Galloway, who was floundering in that system and had been cast in such a light that he was not going to do a 180 on WWE's television. I mean, the odds were stacked against him significantly. And I think getting cut turned out to be a blessing for him in 2014. He went out and he attacked the independents. He was in line with the rise of UK scenes where the money was starting to really trickle in for these guys. He was in high demand. And this guy has become a world-class performer. And now he's coming back as someone of significance, a hell of a lot more than he was when he left the company. So that was a value, and that right there is a testament to having that system in place. You don't want to see these places disappear, and it's guys that when it's not WWE, your options are limited to TNA and running one and done indie shots. You want to have a healthy system that knows it can run consistently, and guys don't have to worry about one-offs and where their next gigs are coming.
I feel like they'll work with promotions like that just at their convenience, to the point where, you know, it would benefit them in situations like, you know, like you just outlined. And also, you know, as a place to kind of have their UK talent to work, to get some exposure. But I think they will certainly probably limit the growth of those companies when they start to become competition, when they start to get TV deals, when they start to, you know, vibe at the same venues and whatnot. So they, you know, at this point, it seems to be a relationship that works for everybody involved. But I feel like, you know, the idea of, like, say, a Progress getting onto national TV, running head-to-head with the WWE, that's probably going to, you know, deter them from moving forward.
It's very different as well now. And this isn't to paintbrush everybody, but, you know, when the WWF had their national expansion, you were talking about rival promoters that were that were cutthroat with one another, that didn't have any kind of illusions in their mind about the WWE being the be-all, end-all. That wasn't established in 1984. Now you're two generations, realistically, removed, where today's independent talent, a lot of promoters that have gotten into the game, they grew up fans of this product. They were young teenagers. They were children during the Attitude Era. So the WWE, for their adult lives and for their teenage years, that was the show. So all of a sudden, it's great that you can go out and carve something for yourself. It's enticing for a lot of these people when you answer your phone and it's Paul Levesque calling and he's a fan of your product and wants to do business with you. And then suddenly you're looking at money that's on a contract, and that's where a lot of these people, you revert to why you got started in this industry. For many of them, the end point was always WWE. They have the illusions of that WrestleMania main event. And for these promoters to be in the same conversation as a WWE, it's intoxicating for a lot of them. Yeah. And there's others that can separate that fantasy world from the business side, but there's others that gets that's a gray area for many that you can't divorce the two.
Mm-hmm. But for the time being, I feel like it's, you know, doing a lot of good for the UK scene. You know, it's giving a national platform, and it's creating a lot of buzz for promotions like a Progress that to a casual audience that might not have heard of them before. But like certainly this weekend, like, I mean, the UK scene has really kind of taken hold, and it's more apparent this weekend than ever.
All right, who's got a question? Okay, let's go to our friend in the back,
Shane from California. What's up? Oh, for me. When Total Divas comes back,
which is next week, just a couple of days away.
Well, I'll tell you, I gotta kind of chill out for a little bit. But like, I will certainly be watching it. I will discuss it whenever questioned. The thing that kind of keeps me from wanting to do it week to week is because I like the show too much, and taking notes kind of ruins it for me. It really does. I want to chill out, relax. I want to see, you know, like Brie Bella try a new type of tea. I want to, like, you know, see what Renee and Dean are up to, and how weird he is stopping chasing down guys who were stealing his girlfriend's hat on the street. That actually happened, and it's awesome. I love that show. So, like, I'll watch it. I'll enjoy it. I don't know how detailed, because watching these shows, I love doing the reviews, and actually, I don't know how often you guys have tried, like, taking notes, or at least like maybe texting throughout the course of an edition of Raw. It makes you focus, and you end up like kind of getting a lot more out of a show as a result. So it's great, but it does take focus. And sometimes I just want to relax, and Total Divas is my relaxation.
Let's go in the back there. From Orlando.
Really? You're not going to Mania? You're only coming here? Wow. Well, we'll keep you busy for like 8 hours.
We promised this. Everyone's money's worth at this event. Yeah.
All right. Best and worst review aways we've done.
Man, I will always have a spot in my heart for Unforgiven 1999, a dreadful show, but one in which we had to record that thing three goddamn times. And I'll tell you, we have had a stretch of like years at this point where we have not had a screw-up recording up until a few weeks ago doing SmackDown. And it was just the worst. Like, when you finish, like, if Wade were to tell me at the end of this, oh, I...
Hey, do not even say it.
Do not even say it. Like, I am not kidding. I would take physical pain over that happening, because you feel like you've lost
the
greatest show of all time.
Anybody who's podcasted probably has gone through this many a time, and your heart just sinks. And the best thing to do is to just go right back at it, like, immediately. You know, it's like typing an essay and then forgetting to hit save. Except, like, I feel like that happens a lot more with podcasting than, like, there's no autosave now, you know, with podcasting yet.
It should be. I mean, in terms of interviews, the only time that happened to me was going to the Air Canada Center and interviewing Randy Orton. And at the end, the goddamn thing didn't record. And, man, it's not just your own admission that you're an idiot, but then it's telling Jason Agnew and Dan Lebranski, we don't have an interview because I didn't record it. And Agnew would, what? The worst way.
Out of nowhere.
The worst. It was out of nowhere. It got deleted. Anyway, favorite review away shows. I mean, most of the anniversary shows we've done have been a lot of fun.
These have been great. You know, every time
we love doing these. Getting to meet the people is. We're not just saying that. It's really cool to because we never really, you know, we talk to each other in a glorified broom closet and don't really realize if anyone's even listening to this. I mean, we literally were in a broom closet when we started this show in 2009. It was
sound insulation is great in the broom closets.
So. We moved in. The Fight Network moved into this dance studio. It was bad times, and there was this former broom closet that we turned into an audio booth and decided to do this show. And that was
And that's kind of what I've enjoyed about this process is that like nobody told us to do this. Like we just decided to do it because we kind of had the time at the time, and we just like it's fun to talk about wrestling with this guy. You know, as I'm sure you guys can tell, maybe not always. Sometimes we get into like something pretty heated, or if a show is really boring, I wish I could.
Sometimes Austin Aries acts like a madman on television. I think literally
that's an all-timer.
For the amount of time that I spend with this guy through traveling, through shows, I mean, I really feel it's on one hand with fingers left over that we've really gotten angry at one another. One was the Austin Aries Christy Hemme deal.
Yep.
There was definitely a time in Calgary when we were just going out of our minds doing that Bret Hart documentary, which was just insanity. And I think
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay.
You to talk about it.
I'm terrible with navigating when we drive. So it's great when Way falls asleep. Like the other day, I totally missed a turn and we went 15 minutes out of the way. And I would feel very guilty about that as the driver that I fucked up. But Way was asleep. So he picks his opportunities wisely. But, I mean, I don't imagine too many people that I would spend this amount of time with and we wouldn't drive each other nuts. So that is a blessing.
How about
we are the Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson of the podcast world.
It's getting a little too sappy. Why don't we end this with an ultimate thrill ride? For the first time, right here, I've never hugged this man. Let's close it. Never. Gross. Never again.
You're a little sweaty. I won't lie. All right.
Do you want to go to another guest right now?
Quickly, what was your favorite review? We went in a million different directions.
I mean, I've been asked this question, and I keep saying the same thing. I don't remember them. Like, it's like studying for a test, you know? I'll cram in, like, 2 hours beforehand. I'll do the test, and then it's just gone from memory. So, like, every review where I feel like I'm, like, you know, I'm awake for it. Like, those are the best. The secret is coffee. Coffee has been a great help.
I will guarantee, I think our days of adult film reviews are definitely over. I mean, there's some things where you look back and like,
my God, dude.
What the hell were we thinking? Like, that was just really weird.
That was certainly, like, maybe the thing that... It was a bit more awkward than even what you just saw take place right here. It was watching porn with this guy in his kitchen, and the China porn being that particular.
It was even tougher for me when I ordered this damn thing, and then my bill comes the month later, and you had to opt out of this thing. So I got charged for the entire month for this website. And
that's what he
and
says.
I, and in my head, I'm thinking, what is the line of what is a valid work expense? And I was like, I'm gonna eat this one.
Wow,
I really right. set you up there for a line.
Sorry.
All right, next question in the front here.
Kenny from Boston.
Oh, there's one option.
Well, so first, Kenny is here with some guests who aren't necessarily WWE fans. They are total Divas fans. So I applaud you, and you'll have a good time this year. I mean, I feel like there's more Total Divas involvement this year than probably any other year. So obviously, the one match that is my main event to me, the people's main event, and of course that's John Cena and you know, the other people. Well, but.
That thing, first of all, that match was something that, my God, you could not sell people on for a second when you heard about it. Oh, and they did a phenomenal job promoting that match. And to me, if we get the proposal, well, You know, I don't want to ruin it for people. Oh, man, I screwed up my own matrix there. If we get a cutaway shot to Tears, home run. That's all I want out of that. Cutaway shots.
Yeah. It's not something I want to see at every show. You know, you kind of have to be really careful with your Total Divas integration. But, I mean, you think I joke, but, like, I really love the production of Total Divas. And I feel like they are able to sell you on characters in professional wrestling that are very believable that the actual product isn't able to do. And things like, you know, John Cena being, you know, giving Nikki Bella contracts. Or the fact that, like, we even know that John Cena doesn't want to have kids and doesn't want to get married. These are real believable things that you can buy into. Not like somebody burning a house or, you know, using a forklift to defeat another man. And again, it's hard to, like, turn those things into storylines always. But I feel like reality TV is a great model for professional wrestling to follow.
Though Nikki burning down John's house out of spite would be an awesome... Yeesh. Wrap up to all of this.
I wonder what the clause is in the contract for that. Should we get one more another guest up here?
Yes. Let us welcome from Vice and a permanent fixture in our hearts, Damian Abraham.
Yeah.
First of all, Damian, I know you hate listening to live podcasts, so... I hope you are a fan of this show.
Well, this way I don't have to listen to it because I was here. So this way I can skip Friday's episode. Why is John's head so much smaller? Or why is John and Wei's head so much bigger than Dan's head?
You'll have to ask our friend Bill, who I don't know if you guys have ever seen these heads before on TV.
I've seen them on TV.
They made their debut at the Royal Rumble last year.
Give it up for the heads!
I mean... And, like, it was quite the sight seeing AJ Styles walk out, make his WWE debut, and then to see my face, like, right next to it, and a sign that says TSN 1050 up next. It was the greatest thing. But that's, of course, thanks to Bill right here from Orlando. Why is Dan's head so much smaller? I have no idea. He has no idea.
He shrunk Dan's head.
That's what I sent him. Well... Truth is, he has the least ego of
He does. He's like definitely, and probably the best music taste.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No diss on you, John.
I'm number two, but it's a close race. Quickly tell us a bit about what you have been filming this weekend. Are you allowed to discuss?
In as much as I can right now, I'm working on a TV show about professional wrestling for Vice. And we are here shooting a bunch of crazy stuff. I've been in Mexico. I'm going to be going... all over the world and talking about pro wrestling. And this is a dream come true. Like, I got to meet people I've never met, you know, and I got to see stuff I never thought I'd get to see. And I've had the best time. This is way better than any bullshit music thing I've ever done. Trust me on that.
How was Mexico?
Mexico was incredible. Like, we went to Tijuana and then Mexico City. And it's really powerful to see how important wrestling is to there. And it's not just like the fact that you can buy masks at every stall or there's like Lucha branded stuff, but it's actually in the psyche and just the way Lucha is used positively by people to kind of improve their situations is one of the most powerful things I've ever witnessed. It's the power of pro wrestling illustrated.
I'm curious how many people saw Damian's documentary on CCW on Vice.
It's really popular. It's blowing up the internet.
It is really damn good. And like if that was any indication of like what this new show is going to be, like it'll be huge in the professional wrestling world because a lot of people, you know, we've all seen like wrestling documentaries, but I don't think we've seen it from like a sort of a slant that I think Vice and you know your taste can really provide. So I'm really excited for it.
No, thanks, Wei. It's been so much fun and like. You know, what better excuse? Like, I was joking in the van, I finally tricked Vice into paying me to go to WrestleMania, which is... And I'm not even going to go to WrestleMania. I'm not doing any WWE events this weekend.
Well, you're here.
Well, I'm here.
I'm
here.
Thank you, Vice.
But I got to see some unbelievable stuff. I saw Penta versus the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, last night in a death match. Hmm. It was so nuts.
What show was that?
That was at the CZW Best of the Best.
Wow.
I saw Darby Allin get killed by Ethan Page. You guys left that Evolve show.
Yeah.
That was like, it was like the Passion of the Christ in wrestling form with Darby Allin being murdered.
We had to leave because we had to get to the Hall of Fame. So I messaged Brian Mann after, asked him, how was the main event? He sent me back a photo of the floor in front of him with Darby Allin's blood splattered around. As like, this would be a really weird photo to explain to someone of why it's being sent to me. And I didn't think twice about it.
It was the craziest thing was going back to that venue for Chikara. No, not for Chikara, for Kaiju Big Battle later on that night. And like watching the like hilarity in the ring and then just looking over and Darby Allin's bloody handprints are still on the wall from earlier, like sliding down the wall. It was...
Our female ratio just diminished.
I think, no, there's no gender thing here. Everyone would have been grossed out. Like, and if you're not grossed out by it, you would have been... A weird sadist because it was so insane.
I will say, going back to our reviews of separate categories, no show has got me closer to vomiting than that Tournament of Death that you and I reviewed last year. Yeah. That was one of the most disturbing pieces of video I've ever watched that I never want to see again. And I have you to blame for that. That's what happens when Wei takes a week off, is that we watch Tournament of Death.
The other time that was amazing when Wei took off was the time that I came and did Impact. We did a review, and it was the day the Impact sale was going to happen.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And this is the entire review. I'm just, like, talking to John, and he's just like...
I'm like... I could speak to that. I could speak to that. I mean, you guys don't see our reviews, but, like, if I'm talking right now, John is probably on his phone. He's a very busy man, and I don't blame the guy. Like, the guy gets texts nonstop. He is a very good journalist, so... I'm often, like, basically talking to that cardboard cutout of John, I might as well. But, yeah, I don't know if you realize you do that.
I'm doing it. I hope you realize. I'm not playing games on my phone. I'm not, next level of Candy Crush.
You do a thing where you just check your phone, though. You just, like, it's just kind of like a, I think it's probably just like a thing, you know, maybe we all do. But, like, I can kind of see what you're doing. Sometimes you're just checking to see if you have any texts.
Yeah, sometimes I'm doing that. But you want to know, the biggest thing is that we do the show right after Raw. So if there's something that happens dark match-wise, anything like that, the worst tweets I get, it's not even the hatred. That's fine. But it's the, I was so surprised you didn't mention blank. And it's the most obscure detail possible. So I'm combing for every detail, Wei, to make sure we have a thorough review because nothing drives me crazier than surprised you didn't notice Rhino's beard. You were surprised. That was what was evoked from our discussion. You were stunned. Your jaw was down because we didn't mention that Rhino has now formed a beard. And I get these endlessly. So, with all due respect, I hate. There's nothing. I think I want to get rid of surprised from Twitter. Just mute those ones. Anyway, that had nothing to really do with the question at hand, but that was my own rant.
That's your excuse. That's the reason you check your phone. I know what. There's a new item on the Secret John menu. It's not the ultimate thrill ride. It's the super.
Are you
ultimate
getting nervous
ride.
This close?
Oh God!
Took it up a level, everyone.
Dear God. Damien Abraham, everybody. You're not going to top that. I say we take a few more questions, and then we are going to wind this down. All right, we'll do these four, and then I think...
And then we have a special guest giveaway.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay, we'll do that. All right, going in order here. A Twitter celebrity. Jeremy from Seattle.
Also known as...
I don't know... This is the James Vanderbeek on Twitter. Yeah. Woo! MLW Zone.
Great question.
Yeah, the question was who on the WWE's roster would benefit, much like Chris Hero did when he was released, when Drew Galloway left, revitalizing themselves outside of WWE. I look at a number of people. I think that Dolph Ziggler would greatly benefit from just torching this persona of his and going out and opening up a lot of people's eyes, because I think people are past the point of the potential label on him, and I think a lot of people are just tired of this guy and kind of looking at his lot in this company as kind of indicative of where he is. And I don't think everyone has shut the door on him, but I just think he is drowning in this role in the company. And it's a big leap to take for a lot of these guys to walk away from guaranteed money when he's been in that system since 2005. I mean, he was trained in OVW. So, I mean, he has come up in this system. That one benefit of so many of these guys that have gone out of the WWE, I think they've shown you that, yeah, you've got to hustle, you've got to work at it, but there is, you will be a lot happier on your schedule and being able to do this. So Ziggler would definitely be up there on my list.
On my list, I mean, I certainly think this, you know, when you a question like that, you got to think about a few things. Who are guys that have the work rate ability that would be able to excel in the indies? And the other thing is, ideally, you would want them to get the chances that they're deserving of within the company. So what's stopping them from doing that? Well, it would probably be somebody whose reputation is maybe so tarnished to a level that even if you did try to push them at this point, it might be a little too late. And I think about, you know, Dolph Ziggler is a great choice. I think about Fandango. You know, there's a guy who I think was never really given a great chance to show what he's been capable of in-ring. And, you know, say what you will about the characters, but, I mean, he's somebody who I think sorely needs, you know, a fresh coat of paint, and I think a trip on the indies would be tremendous for somebody like him.
All right.
Yeah.
Over here, the Taker Reigns shirt.
Roman Reigns' biggest fans. From San
Congratulations.
Jose. Yeah. Boo.
Oh, okay. The question is the most frustrating or challenging guest that we've ever had. Myself, I mean, it's always a drawback when a guy approaches an interview and he's fully in character. There's sometimes, I mean, I never approached that as just, oh, well, this is just going to be a disaster and give up on it. In fact, one of the interviews that I was really happy with was when I was supposed to interview Cody Rhodes while he's doing the Stardust character. And I didn't even think twice about it. I thought I'd be interviewing Cody Rhodes. So when I introduce him and he's full on Stardust, I was just like, this interview could either be shit or I could at least try and make it something. And I ended up asking all the same questions I wanted, but came up with these goofy galaxy analogies so he knew what I was asking, and now the challenge was on him to answer it in character, knowing what I'm asking him. And I think he really appreciated it after, and even I think he sent out the interview afterwards. So, I mean, that was one where it was challenging, but I was really happy with the end of it. Then there's other ones where it's
Evan,
always...
Evan Bourne.
Evan Bourne was one where we went to the WWE Niagara Falls store, and Gail Kim and Evan Bourne were there that day. So me and Wade had driven all the way up to Niagara Falls, which is a long way to go for what we were getting turned out to be like 5 minutes with Evan Bourne.
Well, it's like 2 minutes, man. You can see that.
It was supposed to be five, and it ended up being two. And so he is just, you know, smiling babyface Evan Bourne. And my question to him was about, on the Fight Network, we air Ring of Honor, and we air a lot of your old matches, and there's an audience that you performed for that you now are performing as a different character in WWE in a different set of circumstances, something to that effect. And he just gave like the shittiest answer about, you know, flying to the sky and there's no limit because I'm airborne, or
I'm here for the best competition.
Oh, you know, that type of thing. So I then take the mic and I'm moving on to the next question, and then Wei points out to me after his reaction to his own answer as he just looks down and just shakes his head. What the fuck am I doing? And thankfully, this lives on YouTube, so you can all check out John Pollock, Evan Bourne. But those can be tough. When, like, listen, I'm always appreciative when anyone gives me their time. So when you start an interview and the first thing is, how long is this going to take? You're already starting from a position that, okay, I've got to definitely convince this person in the first question or two that this is worthy of 15 minutes of their time and that they're not just going to give you stock answers to just, this is a chore for them. Which, listen, for some of it is. I totally get that. So that's on me. But those are kind of the ones that stand out.
I mean, as many of you know, like, we also cover mixed martial arts. And so professional wrestling interviews just can often really stand out, where it's weird. You don't know if you're talking to the performer or the character. and that makes it incredibly unique. But, you know, certainly I feel like there's a lot more acceptance now, you know, from, like, even media to talk to performers while they're in character. And I think there are things like you just described that would have fit perfectly in into a current talking smack. You know, I feel like they've kind of really hit on something where, like, wink, wink, we know we're in character, but we're actually trying to say what is on our mind. But we're doing it in a way so that, you know, to protect the business, so to speak. There's certainly a middle ground. Like, if you were to interview a broken Matt Hardy, you wouldn't want to do that necessarily completely out of character.
No, but, I mean, for that reason, like, I feel it's also the platform as well. Like, I considered, like, Broken Matt Hardy would have been great on, like, our Christmas show. I think that fits perfectly. Whereas The Law, I just didn't feel that kind of... I just don't know how many people are really that interested in that. You can get that version of Matt Hardy however you'd like. So, I mean, that's kind of what you weigh back and forth. So, very good question. What did you want to say?
Let's go to one more guest that's in town.
Okay, let's do that, and then we'll finish up with the questions.
Yeah.
So, let us welcome.
If this gentleman is around... I would like to speak to him, because we still have some beef to settle. And this is my Grapple Kingdom opponent, Court Bauer. Court! Court Bauer, I'm calling you out. Get over here. Come on. Come on. Boo this man. Boo this man, everybody.
Look at the hipsters in the back. Too cool. Ladies and gentlemen, Court Bauer.
Happy WrestleMania Sunday.
Court clearly has not been listening.
When did we start?
5 minutes ago. Court, this was the third year that you promoted Wale Mania. Tell me just a bit about how Thursday night went down and kind of this interesting part of WrestleMania week that I would never want to envision putting this together and dealing with the personalities involved, but the fact that it's now over with, you've really carved out something unique WrestleMania week that's unto itself, which is the challenge of all of these shows, is finding an audience for their event. Not everyone can find an Al Snow bachelor party and make it a success.
We'll never do that. How could I ever reach that level? But no, it's a lot of fun. I'm still tired, but... It's 3 years in a row, and somehow, some way, we make it work every year. And every year, I think it's the last year. So, we'll see if we do it again next year. Maybe, hopefully.
What a seal of approval there! Every year, we think it's our last. So no, we'll see what happens next year.
Because you can't. It's hard to replicate that. It's like South by Southwest. It's Studio 54. It's pro wrestling. It's hip hop. All smashed up into one thing, one night, and to get everyone to be in the same place, from WWE people to TNA people to hip-hop, everyone, indies, it's very hard to do. So it's like we've done it 3 years in a row. It's hard to – how do you outdo Lana on stage with Big E and Samoa Joe and Moose and Apollo Crews falling off the stage in the back? I mean, it's hard to do that.
When you are looking at a WrestleMania weekend, give us a sense for people here that maybe haven't heard you and I chat about this. The day of WrestleMania, in your kind of a role, what is that day like?
It's easy. You're not doing shit. Everything's done. It is. For the writer, it's done. The run sheet's done. There's nothing really. A few pre-tapes. If you watch WrestleMania, there's not a lot going on for a writer. It's the wrestler's day to shine. We're just there, really. We're watching, usually, and catering. There's not a lot to do.
And when typically was everything, like, locked in? Are you guys going up till Saturday night? I mean, how late into the game is it still full-on pressure?
Most of the week, it's pretty locked in. You might have one match that Vince is going back and forth on, and that's ultimately Vince call and the wrestlers politicking for a certain finish. Now I think the wrestlers kind of just go with it a little bit more than they did when I was there, when they're a little bit more like Kurt Angle really wanted to win that WWE title match in Chicago. You don't have guys doing that as much now. I think there's like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. Cool.
It's very funny that here we are, WrestleMania weekend, where we're all staying at the same house. The three of us, Alex Greenfield, and we were all at that same WrestleMania show, yet we never knew one another.
Is that true?
Yeah. You never responded to my text back then.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you have going on beyond today? What are your plans in Orlando? You have hit up Disney?
Yes.
18 times?
About that, yeah. Universal's next. I got to go to Jim Ross's show, see Jim Cornette, and then I'll head to Universal and watch WrestleMania.
And call it a weekend.
Yeah, I got these jungle bugs. Yeah, we're in the middle of a jungle.
So, Court, one of the questions we get all the time is, why did you stop doing Bauer and Pollock?
Why did I? Your fucking contract guarantee.
I was talking to a gentleman from Scotland yesterday. I mean, he seemed very upset that this show had ended.
Well, I'm glad you interpreted what he was saying. I couldn't understand.
It was a very thick accent, but thankfully I went to the Grado School of Translation, and I think I put together the odd ended words, and it all came together in a coherent message in my mind.
You're like my kimchi. I need that. I don't know how to handle that.
Yes. So. You and I understand our agents are in talks. Is that how it's classified?
I guess, yes.
Your agent's a real prick, I'm just going to say.
Well, you're the one with fucking Barry Bloom.
It's very different when you're trying. Well, listen, Barry's got my back, okay? So, yeah. I mean, when you're talking about two juggernauts of podcasts out there, I mean, coming together, I mean, you've got to move heaven and earth. And, I mean, it's up to the agents at this point. So we're going to see what they can settle, what they can come to terms with. And I think, in any negotiation, Court, I think the best negotiations end with both sides giving up a little. So I'm just saying, a little nudging, it might go a long way, Court.
Okay.
The revenue sharing is getting a little out of hand.
Oh, wow.
I have a better suggestion. You guys roll for it. Right here. Right now. Grapple Kingdom 2. No, it's not happening. Not happening. Not happening.
Samoa Joe, where are you? Oh, wait. He's at WrestleMania.
Anyway, we're going to wrap up with questions, but Court, of course, oversees all of the MLW universe up at MLW.com, and the maestro of some of the most eclectic personalities in the industry, Court.
Oh, yeah. It's babysitting.
Well, you enjoy the rest of your WrestleMania Sunday, and thanks for popping by.
Hey, guys.
The Live Review Podcast. Court Bauer, folks.
So, I trust most of you are going to Mania, correct? Are there any who don't have a ticket? One, a few gentlemen. Okay.
Are there anyone of those that don't have tickets that want a ticket? Is there a show of hands that would be willing to make plans, altering plans to go to WrestleMania
tonight? Show of hands,
tonight?
We have a ticket to give away. And who's interested? One. Two?
I think we have three contestants.
Three, four. Four of them. Okay, great. We want to welcome up our final guest, and this man has been helping us out all weekend here. A man with a clipboard from not Austria, but Australia, and maybe he'll tell you about that. We want to welcome up Marcus, our friend Marcus Sanders here.
Yes. Marcus has been the quiet MVP. He's been going around taking photos for us, giving out stickers, getting information. And so what is the situation here? You have two WrestleMania tickets, but you don't have a date for WrestleMania.
Yep. So the story is I've got two mates in Sydney that are wrestling fans. One is getting married next weekend, and the other is expecting his second daughter. So it was a tough call to try to drag one of them to be interested. So I have a spare ticket, and only for a loyal fan. I'm happy to give that away. So let's get someone to Mania.
All right.
You won't be next to the roller coaster up in the bleachers. This is in the 100 section. It's pretty good.
This is the 100 section. This is a tough ticket to get. So how do you want to do this, Way?
Well, I mean, you know, as much as we just want to, like, give out to anybody, we want to make sure this guy has a good time. Because you'll be spending a lot of time with each other. So.
7 hours.
So let's, you know, Marcus, like, I want to hear a bit about yourself, and then I want to hear a bit about some of the other people that are potentially vying for this.
It is the law of blind date setup.
I want to make sure you're compatible.
So I don't want to hear any answers that are necessarily wrestling specific, but tell us just a bit about some of your interests, because it's a long show, and I wouldn't want to be breaking up small chatter with wrestling talk necessarily. That's a given. But what are some things that this contestant might be willing to discuss with you, connect on a personal level? Favorite television shows?
music that you might enjoy, past relationship woes. I mean, tell us a bit about what Marcus, what kind of person you're looking for to go, because you're going to be spending a significant portion of the day with this individual.
Alrighty. Well, first off, they got to look forward to the ultimate thrill ride.
Yeah. Woo.
I hate this thing.
No preferences required. The wrestling fans they're an amazing crowd when you come here. That's why I've come solo, because the atmosphere of all the fans is fantastic. So I'm happy for anyone, ideally someone who can't get in, to get in.
Okay, maybe we'll try to like get the best story of why you aren't going to WrestleMania. And if you can have make up, no, don't make it up, but if you have...
This is going to be our NXT skills competition, okay? So each of the contestants is going to get 30 seconds up here in front of a live crowd to give us their best explanation of why they should get this ticket to WrestleMania. So who are the individuals that are still up for this? We got one, two, three, four.
Gentlemen,
Rob
up,
Spencer. Wow. The guy I used to do improv with.
Let's get the gentleman with the lanyard here. Come up here and
let's bring
tell
them
us
all
your
up.
Story. Yeah, all of you guys.
All four come up to the stage, okay?
Okay. And just back here. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, so let us... this is going to be fun. Oh. We're gonna set...
For the ultimate throw right.
Okay.
Well...
We're gonna see,
not
we're
not
gonna
endearing himself to the person that makes the ultimate decision. All right, so we are going to get a... I will have my... You know what? I think I have my WrestleMania stopwatch in my bag as
oh,
well.
Oh, boy, please, so, please take it.
I mean, why don't you...
please take it out. Sir. All right, so our first guest, what's your name?
Brian from Orlando.
Brian from Orlando. Man. All right, so you are local, and mm-hmm. I guess you just decided to show up and not necessarily
go to
WrestleMania.
This is the only event I was doing today, like I told John earlier. This well, is all I was doing, so.
I mean, maybe we could change that, but maybe not. John is actually looking for this. Let's screw the stopwatch. How much time are we giving these guys?
30 seconds.
And we will, at the end of it all, let the audience decide. How about that?
Oh, man.
Okay, so yes.
So I'm just telling you why I want to go?
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever.
Your time, you're on the clock in 3, 2, 1.
All right. I'm Brian from Orlando. It has been a dream to go to WrestleMania. They were here in 2008. I didn't go. I was broke. I had no money whatsoever. This year, all I wanted to do was go to WrestleMania. Ticket prices were at $800,000. I don't got that type of money. I work two jobs. I'm trying to, you know, just pay my car insurance. That's it, you know. I would like to go to WrestleMania. It would be great. Oh, take me, Brian, please.
I like how he just went to promo mode and got the go-home line at the end.
This is it.
Also, his Jesus pose. So there you have it. All right, so our next contestant.
Alberto from Kissimmee.
All right. So, Alberto, you are on the clock in 3, 2, 1.
All right, so my story is I wanted to go to Mania this year. Huge fan, lifelong fan. I have two young daughters. I have a two-year-old and a two-month-old, and that's basically the reason why I wasn't planning on going to Mania was I was planning on watching it with them tonight. And my wife has been insisting on me finding tickets on StubHub to go, and I kept telling her, no, I'm just going to hang out with the family. So it would mean a great deal to her and to me to finally attend Mania for the first time. Thank you.
The guy who just went heard like, oh, kids? Oh, shit.
He's got kids. All right, next up. What's going on? We know each other.
A reunion.
Other.
How about
yeah,
a
look at
throw
that.
Line?
There Come will be on. No I'll favoritism here, all right?
Yes.
Look at that.
All right. Yeah, we haven't seen each other in like 5 years. That's great.
You're on the clock, Rob.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, so I drove down from New York for 22 hours with my two friends to work on another show that we didn't get paid for. We're real tired. We were just going to drive back today, but if you know, the other two can wait in the car. I will have. I did all the driving. No one else had their license. I found out the day before we left, and yeah, 22 hours in a car. I want to watch wrestling, you guys.
Nothing like a guy who will say, fuck you to his friends, I'm going to WrestleMania. right, our final contestant, all right? And your name?
Anthony St. James.
All right. Take the mic here, Anthony.
Oh, thanks. I thought I was taking that one.
And you are on the clock in 3, 2, 1.
Man, I don't know if I could beat kids and insurance and driving 22 hours, but yeah, we came here from New York to work Kaiju Big Battle and work other promotions, and you know, I'm like, hey, let's go see John Pollock and Wei Ting, because I watch them every week, you know, listen to them every week after during work, whatever. Love these guys. So, long story short, you know, I'm just here for these guys, and if, you know, one of these guys gets the tickets for Mania, that's awesome too, man. Let's go. Let's have a good time, guys.
Wow.
Going the humble baby face. I don't really want it. These guys can have it.
See,
route.
That
tactic.
That was dangerous because he's either going for the I really don't want these tickets, or it's the reverse psychology of what a nice guy who would be willing to give them up to his heated competition here. So that can be viewed in different ways. I'm glad we don't have to decide this way. It's not on us.
We're leaving it up to the audience. So let's get our contestants back here. And we will show in order of appearance. So let's get you, and let's get you, gentlemen, right here. And Marcus, why don't you get around here? Because first of all, Marcus, do you have a potential? Do you have a preference of any of these fine gentlemen?
Okay, all I know, this guy went. We got to like write a letter of apology to the person behind us.
Yeah,
he said if this guy wins, we have to write a letter of apology to the people behind him. All right, so we will do this by audience applause.
All right. So, up first, I forgot your name.
Brian.
Brian from Orlando! Sustained pop. Alberta with kids.
Wow.
See, that's going to be the difference maker because no one is reserving their applause for one candidate. We're just going to vote for multiples.
If he wins, I want birth certificate proof. Hey,
I'll get her on FaceTime. She can confirm it.
Alrighty.
That's them right there.
All right, folks. Number 3, Rob, who drove all the way here with 22 hours behind the wheel.
Do my talk feel a compression?
He's not winning.
My guest at this time.
I just got what you said.
And our final contestant, representing Brooklyn, came all the way to work Chikara and Kaiju, and he didn't seem too happy about it. He's willing to give up tickets if necessary.
These good times, huh? I can't say.
Number 4 here.
Four guy.
I think it's definitely between these two, so one more time, a show of applause. Let's start with the gentleman with the kids. Ooh. And one more time for Brian. See, now I can't tell him. He's got two jobs and he's got two kids, so I don't know.
I'm definitely going. You can't take the two of mine and you two have a day.
Yeah.
You know? I can't watch your kids tonight. That's the thing.
We've created
I work for Nike. I got you discounts.
I got you. Oh,
man. Wow. You know what? We got to do sudden death. We got to do one more round.
Okay. This is going to be sudden death, okay? I'm not going to put a time limit on this, but once it starts to fade, I'm going to cut you off. This time around, Alberto, you're going to have to tell the audience why Brian shouldn't go to WrestleMania.
Whoa.
And then Brian is going to get his rebuttal of why Alberto should be staying at home with his kids. Alberto is up first.
Let's have something creative here.
Well, I mean, he mentioned he had a chance to go in 2008. I wasn't even living here in 2008, so, man. And you should have saved up if you knew WrestleMania was coming up. I chose...
Oh!
I just did the turn. I'm sorry. I just turned. Oh man, damn.
Alberto, he's laying it out. You had your opportunity.
Let me get that, please. All right. First of all, in 2008, I was 14, so I wasn't working at the time. So I couldn't go to the show. Unfortunately, my family, we don't have a lot of money, of course, so going to WrestleMania would be incredible. Would be a life-changing experience. If you want to go, you could have went any other year. Why didn't you go?
Yeah. You didn't even like the card.
Listen, everybody, you guys should take me. It would be incredible if you guys wanted me to come. I love the card. Roman Reigns sucks.
All right, final audience vote. Is it Brian that's going? Alberto! Ladies and gentlemen, Brian!
Brian, man, you're going to the ultimate thrill ride.
We're giving him the green
light. Yeah. Oh, man.
All right, everyone. That concludes the live Review Away podcast. Thank you so much to all of you for coming out.
We want to thank the Barley and Vine, and please thank Benji, who's been a one-man operation, opening up early just for us. Please tip him well, and thank you all.
All right, and now everyone can go back, and now you can watch WrestleMania from 5 days ago. Shocking finish.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone.